Today, I'm going to be walking on treacherous ground. I don't even want to be up here on this little pedestal up here, because if you want to throw things, it makes me more vulnerable. And so, I'm going to meddle a little bit here today, and is that okay? All one of you. Amen. All right. So as long as I got Eli's permission, I'm moving forward. All right. Hallelujah. How many remember seeing the white handkerchiefs in church? Hallelujah. Amen. There's a number of reasons why they were in the church. One was to celebrate victory. Woo! Hallelujah. When people praised and worshiped the Lord. Others was the evangelist would need it because he was huffing and puffing and he was sweating. And hallelujah, right? Just giving it all he got, right? Remember those days? Yes. And I don't know if their theology was any good, but they were sure loud. Amen. Hallelujah. And so today, I brought a handkerchief here today because I just want to say we're all on the same side. You know, sometimes the greatest enemy isn't without the church. Sometimes it's within the church. And you read the epistles, you'll see over and again the false teachers that were coming in. And the apostles were defending the faith. They were defending the church. And even Paul praying the last time he saw the deacons and the elders of the Ephesians church, he said, beware because even wolves will come in among you. And so I'm not going that direction, but there are little things sometimes that can divide us. And so I just want to remind you that every one of us is on the same page. If you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, hey, we're on the same side. We may not have the same opinion, we may not have our same views, but we are on the same. So we're going to raise the white flag here today. Amen? All right. We're going to surrender. All right. So I want to preach on the side of truth here today. And if you're a guest here, if you haven't filled out a card for us, please fill one out. If you haven't received the gift bag, we have a gift bag for you in the back, so please help us out in that area. Those who are online, we thank you for being with us here today, and we pray that you'll be blessed. I don't know if they'll be blessed here, but we hope you're blessed there. Amen. They can't throw anything at me over there. All right. So we're going to begin here, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this kind of registered in my heart. This is the Sunday school class is probably going to think, Doug's class is kind of going to think that I kind of stole his material. But he had said something a couple weeks ago. We read a scripture out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that just kind of stuck in my spirit. And so I've been kind of chewing on this for a couple weeks. And it begins like this. It says, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And that's what I want you to see here. The church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. And it goes on, and this is what the gospel message is. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up in glory. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That is what unites us. That's what makes us one in this body of believers here today. We live in a world today where people are searching for the truth. Pilate asked a legitimate question when Jesus was he had asked Jesus if he was a king. He said, I'm a king. And Jesus mentioned the word truth. And Pilate turns around and says, what is truth? What is truth? And I want to tell you today, we live in a world today where people don't know what the truth is. Not only those in the world, but even in the church. There are people that are confused. They're messed up because of what the devil has done. And I'm going to tell you today, folks, we are what the pillar and the foundation of the truth. We need to know the truth to demonstrate the truth to the world. So truth and morality finds its foundation in the theology or the study of God. Outside of God, there is no truth. If you remove Jesus, what happens from our society? We can see it in our own country. As God is being taken out of our nation, we can see where it's headed. There are no boundaries. And so we need to have those boundaries. We need to have that truth that guides us. We witness this daily. We witness Romans chapter 1 taking place before our eyes. In verse 25, the Bible says they traded or exchanged the truth about God for a lie. So we live in a nation, we live in a world today that is deceived, that we have become lovers of pleasure that rather than lovers of God. In verse 26, it goes on and says, because we've done that, we've exchanged it, we have traded that, that is why God abandoned them. God help us as a nation when we abandon the foundation in which we were founded. God help us today. Because we live in this lovey-dovey God stuff, but guess what? There is grace, but there is also judgment. And so, folks, I'd rather have grace than judgment. So let's define biblical truth as we begin here today. We see in the Bible, and it definitely means truth means that which is true, that which is correct. It goes on and says, that which is certain, on which one can depend. Aren't you glad today that the truth of God is unchanging? The word of God is unchanging. It is steadfast, that is there, and it will not change. Jesus even said, what? I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? The Bible also says that I am God, and I changeth not. That which is pure and genuine, that's what biblical truth is. It is the real deal. People are looking for something real, and we have it. We have it, church. We have it. For Christians, truth centers on the person of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus told Thomas in John 14:6, you know it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. In John chapter 14, I'm just laying a foundation here before I get in trouble. All right? In John chapter 14, he reinforces this idea. Jesus described one of the reasons why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says there in verse 15 of John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commands. I think we could also say, if you love me, you will walk in the truth. Is that good enough? Okay. Is that true? 16. We see verse 15 starts with, if you love me. And then verse 16 says, and. Meaning it's conditional. If we love him, if we keep his commands, this is what he's going to do. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of what? Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives what? With you and in you. Do you understand that today? You have a permanent source of truth that dwells within you. John reinforces it again in 1 John chapter 2. He says here, but you have an anointing. What is the anointing? Some of your translations already translate it. It says Holy Spirit in some of your translations. But you have the Holy Spirit from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Why do we know the truth? Because the Holy Spirit of truth that we just read in the other scripture lives in you. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Realize that John is writing to believers here. All right? Verse 24. As for you, see that you have heard from the beginning. You have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and the Father, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. So verse 26, I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing or the Holy Spirit you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing or the Holy Spirit teaches you about all things, and as that anointing, the Holy Spirit, is real, it's not counterfeit. It's the truth. Just as it has taught you, remain in him. So we have the Holy Spirit of truth that dwells within each one of us. And we talked about this morning, and it's already in my notes. Doug's not here, but it was already in my notes what he was preaching this morning or teaching this morning in Sunday school. That truth is fleeting, church. It is something we are being bombarded on a regular basis, the opposite of what the biblical truth is. We are under attack, and we are told that we are to pray the Lord's Prayer, what? That he would give us what? Our daily bread. And folks, I want to tell you today, we need our daily bread. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to hear the repetition, and we need to be reminded constantly of the Word of God and what the truth is. It needs to be ingrained in us. It needs to become second nature to us. And the only way it's going to happen is we need a helper. And that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. That's why he said you don't need anyone to teach you, that when we mess up, we know it. That if we need to go a certain direction or we need to be doing a certain thing, he will direct us. He will guide us. He will remind us of the words of Jesus Christ. We need a helper. Truth is fleeting, church. And just because you learned the Ten Commandments when you were in elementary school, folks, it's not good enough for what's today. Because you are being bombarded, and all 10 of those Ten Commandments are being broken around you on a daily basis. And so we need to have that truth ingrained in us so that we can stand. The Bible says he who is saved, what? He's the one who keeps standing to the very end. Folks, we need to make a stand as a truth because we are what? The pillar and the foundation of truth. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the truth. James puts it this way. He says in chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. So it's not enough to just be a hearer of the word, but it goes on and says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately, look at this, immediately. Meaning that, folks, we need to be constantly be looking in the mirror of God's Word. He goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. This morning, I hope, I pray, and it looks like it, that you all took a peek in the mirror this morning. Amen. You made sure your hair was combed. You sure, you had your makeup on. You had, you know, you shaved. Whatever you did this morning in the mirror. And you came. I'm looking to see if anybody didn't look in the mirror. All right? Because if not, we'll tell you you didn't look in the mirror. All right? But that's what he's saying, that if we're not constantly in the Word, guess what? We're going to forget. That's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Word. What? So that we know and are reminded constantly that being ingrained in it becomes our second nature. Folks, let's not forget who we are. Let's not forget who we are. I'm telling you today, 1 Timothy 3, the church of the living God is the pillar and foundation of the truth. And I'm telling you, that's a high standard to live up to. It really is. Luke adds this in Acts 1:8. You know this. It's a scripture that we read all the time, referring to the Holy Spirit. We are called as the church to be witnesses. It says, but you will what? Receive. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on who? You. And you will be my witnesses. You notice that's plural, right? All these, the yous and the witnesses are plural here today. In Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So, notice that this is talking about not just these individuals, not just an individual, but he's talking to the church. He's talking to all the disciples at that moment, and he's talking to us here today. All of us here in chapel must be witnesses to the truth. You are called to be witnesses to the truth. And I want to, this is where I'm going to wave my white flag before you get mad at me here today. But you need to hear the conclusion, all right? And don't jump the gun, all right? No one person has the corner on the truth. Do you understand that here today? Not one of us have arrived. None of you are a guru. All right? We're not going to come and bow at your feet because you think you know all. No one person has a corner on the truth. And in my day, I've been very dogmatic. I've had my pet doctrines and teachings. There are sermons and messages and topics that, man, they turn me on. They get me excited about the things of God. You have a preacher begin to preach on one of those things that I'm very dogmatic about. And, man, I'm one of those, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know, go for it. You get excited about it. And so I just want to say here today, even though those things get me excited, those things are what I kind of prefer, guess what? I need other teachings as well. And the problem is I can't become obstinate and not hear what those other teachings are. You know, sometimes we become with this attitude, we begin to become haughty and prideful, and we misquote that scripture. It is not pride comes before a fall. It's haughtiness comes before a fall, right? And pride before destruction. There is a process that takes place there. Haughtiness makes us fall and miss the mark, but pride will actually destroy us. And so we need to be very careful. Sometimes we think that people that don't believe the way we do and have the same kind of viewpoint on certain doctrine, we kind of think it's an abomination. Come on. We kind of begin to look at them. We begin to criticize them. The worst place we can become as believers is unteachable. And the very thing, the Bible, the scriptures, the truth that should be uniting us can also be the thing that divides us. And we need to be very careful, church. We need to be very, very careful. And we have been given to anointing, the anointing. We've been given the Holy Spirit who will perfect the knowledge in truth. And so, I'm not saying there's false teachers. I'm not saying that. But folks, there's different views. There's different interpretations of different things. Jesus needs the church to be a collective witness because witnesses tell various sides of an event. If you witness an accident, and Charlie's over here, and Beth's over here, and Mike is over there, and I'm up here, when we go to tell the police what we saw, guess what? Our stories are going to be different. We all saw the same accident, but they're all going to be from a different angle. And sometimes there's even the different perspective of being a witness, like these individuals I just said, and being the one who's actually in the accident. Because their view is going to be much different than those who had witnessed it from the outside. If you personally experience things with God, guess what? Your view is going to be different from those looking on the outside. We want the whole story. Jesus said we are going to be his witnesses, plural. And together, collectively, we get a fuller picture of the Word of God and how God works in people's lives. The Word of God is unfathomable, folks. I don't know about you, but there are new things that I see in my Bible all the time. There are things that the Holy Spirit emphasizes, whether it's a scripture, whether it's a phrase, or even a word, that he speaks new and alive and truth into my life. All of us, hopefully, have accepted Jesus Christ in this building here today. But your salvation story is different than anybody else's story in this room. If you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, that experience is different than any other person's experience. If you've been healed or any other topic that we want to kind of throw out here today, your experience is different. Some of us have just witnessed some things. I don't know about you. I've been touched by God in some areas, but I have never been healed of anything major because I haven't had anything major in my life. And some of you have had some major issues that the hand of God touched you and you were healed. So your experience with healing is different than my experience. I'm kind of just a witness. I hear the testimonies. Some of you have some fantastic testimonies of God touching you and healing you. Amen? But some of us are witnesses because we haven't gone through anything quite like that. We get upset because we have a runny nose, you know? And some of you dealt with cancer. Some of you dealt with other issues that were life-threatening. We're in two different boats. We're still flowing in the same direction. We still believe in the same healing power of Christ, but you have a different understanding and a different perspective of that. You still here? All right. Tuesday night small groups. All right. The purpose of our Tuesday night small groups is for discipleship. How many know that? And we offer Sunday school discipleship classes. Some of you are in home groups. I understand that. But we offer these for the sake of becoming disciples of Jesus Christ and growing in different areas of your life. And so discipleship includes the understanding of the Bible. It's to present Jesus maybe in a new way, in doctrine, in whatever. Whatever. All right. We want you to grow in the knowledge of who God is. That's what theology is. And so there are various topics taught by various people. And we have a number of very gifted people in this church that can teach. And so we're always looking. If you're one of those and you, I don't know you as well as some of you. Some of you have been teachers in the past. Some of you are hiding. But we want to utilize the gifts that God has given to this church. And believe this, every teacher that teaches, teaches out of their experience. They teach from their perspective. Even though they may be using a curriculum, they are teaching out of their perspective. And hopefully it's a Holy Spirit's perspective as well. We need the whole counsel of God. We need to learn. We learn by interaction and questions and testimonies. How many know that's powerful stuff? And when we're in our meetings, people are always testifying that maybe God, we present something and someone says, this is what God has done for me in this area. So let me encourage you today, do not limit yourself. Do not limit yourself by interests only. Because I want you to realize here today, there is innumerable, that's not a good word. Innumerable. See, I have to do that. It makes her feel good that she can correct me because she's a teacher. Amen. You will always be a teacher. Amen. Hallelujah. There are innumerable topics in the Bible. And folks, let's not get stuck. Let's not just get stuck in those areas where it tickles our ears. Some of us, that's all we want to hear is one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. How many know there's a variety of things that we need to hear? Sometimes there's teachers with different personalities. And sometimes we click with personalities, sometimes we don't. How many know that? In school, we had our favorite teachers and we had those that we kind of dreaded every time we walked in the door. You just connected with those individuals. I have a brother who passed away. He was a preacher. And him and I are light years away in styles. And to tell you the truth, I wouldn't want to watch my brother preach. It's just not my style, and it's not who I am. And he probably didn't watch me, and that's okay, all right? I explained to you before that he picked up some habits of, you know, he followed Kenneth Hagin, and so he picked up some of his traits in preaching. And one of the things that drove me nuts, and I already told you this, was he snorted every time he preached. He'd go, throughout his sermon, and it just irritated me because Kenneth Hagin used to do that. And it's like, man, you picked up something better than that. Anyway, here I am. I have faults too, and I drive my wife crazy too, and she points things out to me, my double negatives, my dangling participles, and sometimes I get stuck on one word and I'll repeat it again and again. She told me that I do this on the pulpit with my ring. You know, there's just certain things, that maybe you don't connect with, it don't drive you nuts or whatever. All right. So there are different personalities, right? But that's okay, because we are the body of Christ, right? We are many, what, parts, but one body. How many know we have to put up with each other? And how many know that each part is important, right? So let me make this clarification today. We don't have to agree with what everybody says. Just because they're teaching a class doesn't mean we have to agree with everything they say. All right? There's that old saying, eat the hay and spit out the stubble. That's one of Kenneth Hagin's favorite sayings. How many know you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater? You've all heard that, right? And so we don't dismiss somebody because they believe something different than what we believe. Let's not be guilty of that. Let's show our maturity a little bit here today to say that, hey, I recognize the calling on your life, the gift that God's given you, and I'm going to sit under your message, who you are, and believe that God is going to speak to me through you. This is good preaching, whether you like it or not. It is. There is a different take on the truth according to the revelation of the Holy Spirit and life experience. We preach out of our life experience, what we've known, what we've experienced in life. And that's what makes it different. That's what makes it something that others will attract to. Maybe you're not attracted. Maybe you have a hard time with, but that's okay. Amen? Look at it as a lesson. Else. Amen. You're doing that here this morning. Thank you. Hallelujah. So let me give you an example here, a biblical example of what I'm talking about here today. Most of you probably have not read. Okay. Most of you have not read the book of Job. Maybe you've got to the first chapter, second chapter, and after that, it was all downhill. It is one of my favorite books, believe it or not. I love to read the book of Job because there's a lot of dialogue there. And this is a story of an individual who loved God with all his heart, soul, and mind. And so the story begins in Job chapter 1:8. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Folks, I don't want to be as good as Job. I don't want to go what Job went through. Amen? All right, Joe, we're on the same page. The rest are like, you heathens. All right, that's okay. How many know bad things happen to good people? All right. So we have this story that God presents to Satan and says, hey, pinpoints him out and said, hey, this is one of my favorites right here. Consider him. And Satan took the bait, and Satan could not find any fault in Job. And the story goes on that Satan took Job's family. He took his material possessions. He took his finances. And we find out that Job was unshakable. So the devil, Satan, comes back, and so he tempts him in another way, and he takes his health. And we read the book, we see that Job does a lot of whining, but he doesn't sin. Job remains faithful. He remains faithful in his theology of who God is. But what I want you to see here in this story is that God corrects Job not on his morality, but on his theology. We can read scriptures like Job 1:21. This is his theology. He said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." All right? That's his theology. Another verse says in Job 13:15, "Though he slays me, though God does me in, he beats me up, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Meaning I'm going to keep my integrity. I'm going to keep my belief intact, that I'm going to trust God no matter what. But how many know Job's wife went through the very same things? She lost all her kids. She lost her wealth. She lost all her possessions. And she has a sick husband. And what's her take? Curse God and die. That's her theology. But Job's was a little better. And so we go on in this story. Job continuously declared his innocence before God. And the truth was, he probably was. But his view and the view of his friends about God were incomplete. That's where he messed up. He was okay with his morality because he was taking care of that. But his theology of God was a little warped. And if you read his friends, they were really warped in there. If you've never read the book of Job, you have no idea what I'm talking about. So, but read the book. Or at least read the bridge version. Amen. So God responded in Job 38, starting with verse 1. He responds to Job's theology that, Job, you don't know what you're talking about. Then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you. And you must answer them. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. So we have this story where, four chapters, God grills Job and says, you don't know as much as you think you know. And you don't know me like you think you know me. So we see Job's confession in the very last chapter, in verse 42, starting with verse 1. After God lambasts him for four chapters, corrects him for four chapters, and says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. I think most of us would agree with Job on this point here this morning. But he goes on in verse 3. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? He says, here it is. Here am I. I'm the one. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Let's go back to my first statement. We don't have a corner on the truth. Sometimes we act like we have a corner on the truth. That we think it's our way and no other way. Folks, it's not true. It's not true. God's truth is multifaceted, and he works it a different way in all of our lives. Yes, sometimes there's similars. Yes, I know there are things that are certain, that will not change, truths that do not change. But how we tap into those truths and how God applies them to our life may vary very much. He says, it is I. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And this is where we want to get. We want to see God with our own eyes. We want to see the truth with our own eyes. And he goes, I take back everything I said. When's the last time you said that? Right? And I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Folks, some of us need to repent because of our attitudes, that we have a corner on the market in certain areas of our lives. It's making us kind of hard to swallow. I've been there, done it. I've been in the ministry over 30-some years, and there are things I preach today that I look back and say, I actually said that. I actually believe that. How many know truth is progressive? Truth we learn as we move forward. Let's recognize the gifts that God has placed within our church. I'm not talking about false teaching. We need to slam up against false teaching. But a different perspective on the scriptures, we need to be very careful. Folks, we need to surrender. Right? Eat the hay, spit out the stubble. All right? Take it. None of us are perfect in our theology. I know some of you don't agree with some of the things I preach. That's okay. I've sat in a number of classes with a number of teachers, and I didn't agree with you either. Is that okay? All right. Eat the hay. Spit out the stubble. So this is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, and you thought I was done. For we know in part and prophesy in part. Do you understand this? We only see in part while we're here on this earth because we are what? We don't have the capacity to know all things. But when completeness comes, there's going to be a day, what is in part disappears. We're going to have a greater understanding. When we get to heaven, we're going to go, oh man, did I blow that? Was I messed up on that? Or I could have been further down the road than that. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the child, put ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see our reflection in a mirror. Remember, the mirrors weren't like our mirrors today. They were just shiny brass. They could barely see an image, right? So you kind of have an idea what Paul's talking about here. Then we shall see face to face. What's it say? Now I know in part, then I shall know fully. Hallelujah. We're on that process of knowing fully now, right? I don't know when we get to heaven if we're going to be sitting in a classroom learning the things we didn't learn here. And most of you are going, oh, I hope not. But why should you be granted instant knowledge when the rest of us had to work for it? It's just my opinion. All right. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And verse 13 is important. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So here we go, folks. The white flag, right? The greatest of these is love. Why do we put up with each other? Because we love each other. Even if you think they're wrong, we love them. Right? We love them. Love is the reason we put up with each other. Folks, some of you have been together for a long time. You must have a lot of love. That's all I got to say. None of us have a corner on the truth. We are at different places in our faith. If someone doesn't embrace what you believe, it's okay. It's okay. All right? Let's not criticize them. Let's not put them down. Let's not be proudful. Let's not be haughty. Right? If it's wrong doctrine, hey, we need to deal with it. But if it's just their view of seeing something different, how God works, let it go. Let it go. We are all on the same side of truth. And just when you thought it was finished, I'll read 1 Timothy 3:14-15 again. Although I hope to come to you soon, Paul's writing to Timothy, if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves. Remember I said, our worst enemy can be within the church. We know the world out there is against the church. But folks, it shouldn't be taking place in the church. You will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. That means his church. It means his people, his family, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's who you are today. That's who we are collectively. Do you understand that? Collectively today. Let's pull together. Let's be witnesses of the truth. Let's honor different perspectives and insights. Let's support one another by supporting their ministry. No ministry in this church is greater than any other ministry in this church. We are in this together. We are to help each other out, to make everybody's ministry a great ministry. Church, we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. You have an anointing in you that will teach you all things. Whether you liked that sermon or not, it was good. It was good. And it's something that we need to take into account. We need to hear the multiple different teachings found throughout the Word of God. Some people don't read the Old Testament because they don't think it's for today. Folks, God speaks to me all the time through the Old Testament. He does. Some people read topically. That's all they want to read is one topic. Don't do it. Read the entire New Testament. Read it. Read it. Father, we come to you today and we just acknowledge that you are the head of the church. That, Father, our goal as a church is to support one another. Yes, Lord, we recognize today that we are to be very weary of false teaching. But that's not what we're talking about here today. Today we're just talking about honoring one another and their gifts. To honor the people that are in this church. Those who are striving to do their best to teach. We all have dislikes and likes. We all have subjects that we are very attached to, that we like to hear. But Father, we need to be built up in all areas of our faith. Even in those subjects we don't like to hear about. Father, I come today and I pray that we would be humble, Lord. That, Lord, if we've been a little bit arrogant, and I can confess, Lord, sometimes I can be a little bit arrogant and a little self-assured. But there are many times, Lord, you've brought me to a scripture or somebody enlightened a scripture that I never saw before. They brought it to in a light that enabled you to speak into my life. And it broke through what I had put up as a wall. Today, Lord, I pray that you'll break down the walls. Break down the walls, Lord. Help us not to be stubborn and stiff-necked. Help us to be humble, as James says. You know, wear sackcloth, rip our garments and weep. I pray today, Father, that we will truly love one another and respect done in their life and what you're going to do in their life and what you're doing through their life. I pray for every leader, every teacher that has taught here. Lord, I give you praise for them. I pray that today, Lord, you'll just speak into their heart that you're proud of them. That, Lord, you're excited for them to be able to operate in their gift and share the revelation that you've placed within their hearts with the body. We need more of it. I pray for those that have the gift of teaching and maybe they haven't been motivated to operate in it. I pray that you won't let them go, that you'll lay siege upon their heart and mind, that you won't give them rest until, Lord, they step up and operate in that gift of blessing your body. We always want to go and we always want to remind you that if you do not know Jesus Christ, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when we can surrender all to Jesus. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want to give you that opportunity here this morning. It's basically saying that I recognize today that my sin has separated me from God, that Jesus Christ has come to pay the price for my failures, for my sins, for my rebellion, and that I can come into a relationship with God. Anybody here this morning would say, that's me. Raise your hand this morning. Anybody? We just want to give that opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. Put your hands down. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father, we come to you today, and I pray that we would truly be the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to be used by you. But Lord, you said that it is an abomination, Lord, when we are not in unity. That's one of the things you hate. I pray, Father, you put us all on the same page.
That's my prayer for this body here today. Hallelujah. Father, we close out this service today. And we just want to say we love you, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be part of this body and to be among the people that are being used by you. We love you, Jesus, and we close the service out in your name. Amen.